الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وقال موسى لقومه استعينوا بالله واصبروا إن الأرض لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده والعاقبة للمتقين صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, this morning I received a telephone. One brother complained about a marital problem, and he says to bring some type of sanity and understanding in the marriage, I bought a kitab, Ideal Husband, Ideal Wife. And I expected my wife to understand the book, and both of us could collectively see our mistakes, bring some understanding in the marriage. But surprisingly, she read the book, and then she began to pick out at my faults. That you are a sinner for this, and you committed a sin here, and this is what you are doing wrong. So he says that this is selective reading, that what you want to accept, you will read that, and the arguments that you can find in your favor, you will try and look for that. This has become like the norm of the day. The beggar looks for the verses of the Quran Sharif that are suitable to him. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. And the wealthy person looks for the verses that are suitable to him. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَ. Here the beggar is reading the verse, establish salah and give out regular zakah. And the wealthy is looking for that verses that are suitable to him. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَ. They don't go about begging from people. Now this is not objective reading, it is selective reading. It's not a solution. One Sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says that I have some slaves and sometimes they commit misdemeanors, they don't listen to me. So I beat them up, I discipline them. What will be my position on the day of Qiyamah? Rasulullah explained that their misdemeanors and their wrongs will be judged against the beating and the discipline that you administer. If both balance up well and good, but if your disciplining and your beating is greater, then you will be beaten up. So he sat in the corner and began to cry most profusely. Nabi Sassam explained to him that this is recorded in the Quran. وَنَدَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُزْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And we will set up the balance of justice on the day of Qiyamah, and not a single soul will be treated unjustly. To the least, لَا تُزْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. To the least, no soul will be treated unjustly. So this Sahabi says, well then, the only solution I find for myself is to free the slave. I don't want to be held on the day of Qiyamah. I don't want to be in problems and difficulties. This is common sense that we don't want to be in problems. We rather be on the winning end than put ourselves in a difficulty, any type of hardship we don't want to go through. We rather adopt the precautionary measure. We know For example, there is a jug of water here, and there is a 1% possibility of it being contaminated with AIDS. Are we going to drink this water? Just 1% possibility. 99%, we know the water is pure, absolutely right. But there is a 1% possibility that this has been contaminated. We're not going to risk our lives. So I have recited this verse of the Quran, قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاصْبِرُوا. Musa alayhi salam's people had complained, the Bani Israel, they were the Muslims of the day. And they had complained to Musa alayhi salam, أُذِينَا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا. O Musa, we were always in problems and difficulties. Before you could come to us, we were in problems. That our infant children, newly born, absolutely sinless and innocent, in the very laps of their mothers, they are being slaughtered in cold blood, ruthlessly. The Bani Israel at that time, according to some historic reports, were approximately 600,000. So based on that, you could expect 500 slaughters every day. 500 children being slaughtered every day. Can you imagine now the type of ruthless treatment these people will be exposed to and subjected to? So they complained. This is the predicament, this is the problem, what do we do? People talk about the xenophobia, etc. And what should we do? One is to argument and to get into a discussion that it's no wrong of ours and these people are overstepping the mark, etc. And the positive way to think is that the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and al-qulub bayna isba'i rahman. The hearts are within the control of the two fingers of Allah ta'ala. He turns it as He pleases. We play the game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The conditions become favorable to us. And we begin to cross the line. Then entire control, everything is in Allah ta'ala's control. He can change things. In a minute, in a second, Allah Ta'ala can change things. Don't we see properties that are worth 20,000, suddenly they rocket up 200,000. And then again it will happen, the properties will go right on top, and then they come right down 20,000, 10,000 again. Investments go up, and they come down again. And we'll give 101 explanation, all this manipulation, someone is manipulating the stock market, etc. But really, we don't look at the real hand. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي. The earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the rest of it, everything is puppets. You make the peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything becomes favorable to you. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tastari rahmatullah alayhi, he says, the very basis for comfort, you want rahat, you want comfort, you want ease. The very basis of rahat and comfort, we all are looking for it. In spite of the abundance, and in spite of the general prosperity that we see around us, yet we don't see that inner satisfaction, inner happiness, rahat, chain, happiness. So he says, that if you are looking for this, then that inner rahat and inner chain, inner happiness, is to create a mindset that this is the only chance that I have. This moment that I have is the only moment I have. Not to procrastinate and to have lengthy aspirations that I will do this and this and this. No. This is the only chance. This is the only moment. And I can do whatever I can do within this moment. If one makes his mindset, he prepares his mind in this manner, then life becomes enjoyable. It becomes manageable. There is no difficulty really. Because he feels that this is the only moment, it's my only chance. So these people had complained to Musa alayhi salam, this is the predicament. What do we do? Under the circumstance, what do we do? The Quran doesn't stop us from adopting precautionary measures, legal precautionary measures we all adopt. But now, over and above this, is the guidance of the Quran, that what do we do under the circumstance? What do we do? One is, as I say, to go on to the one extreme and say, you know, we don't deserve this. And why is this treatment being meted out to us? We don't deserve this. And the other is this, when we see that we can't do anything in that respect, then we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him, what do we need to do? So the Quran repeatedly speaks about Musa alayhi salam. In approximately 30 siparas of the Quran, the incident of Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel is repeated 28 times. 28 times this one man, Musa alayhi salam, and his incident is being repeated. There must be some genuine reason for Allah ta'ala to repeat this. It wasn't for entertainment, obviously, and excitement. It was for some other genuine reason that these incidents are being repeated throughout the Quran. And the obvious reason that will appeal to all of us is the great similarities that were in the ummah of Musa alayhi salam with the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are great similarities. He was confronted with the oppressor of the time, the zalim of the time, Fir'aun. And we also in this day and time, we are confronted by the pharaohs of the time. Downtrodden, despised, looked down upon. There's no refugee. We can't raise our heads in honor and respect. Wherever you are being despised. So they also complained. So now what do we do? When there is no other recourse, now what do we do? So Musa alayhi salam says to his people, Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. Beg the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the assistance of Allah ta'ala, as explained, wasta'inu bisabri wassalah. The assistance of Allah ta'ala comes with basically two things. One is patience and one is salah. Establish regular salah on the times with the proper postures and with dedication, the amount of concentration that is manageable. We don't have to shift mountains from their places, but what is manageable and what is possible for us, we don't hesitate to do it. We look forward, we'll try and work according to our capacity, can perform our namazes, our salah. And with that idwa before the namaz or after the namaz, raise our hands and ask Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala's assistance. Ista'inu billah, ask Allah Ta'ala's assistance. Father Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah says, that when the troubles broke out in 1947 in India, and we were sort of locked up in Nizamuddin Markaz, we couldn't move. Because Muslims were being shot down. Any Muslim, the sign of a Muslim is a beard and a topi. Any Muslim is found, and they shoot at on site. In the meanwhile, basic food requirements, they couldn't get basic food requirements. One person volunteered, an ordinary villager, he volunteered that I will go and fetch the basic food commodities. He went up to the marketplace and he fetched the basic requirements and brought it up to the markaz. And he gave the entire report to the Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, and he says to him that I went there and there were people that were staring at me and they had loaded rifles and guns and I stared back at them and they tried to scare me off and I say, no, you've got something, I've got also something. And they asked me, what have you got? I say, why must I disclose what I've got? I don't need to disclose what I've got. But they were shaken up and they couldn't do anything, actually they were trembling. Sheikh asked him, and what did you have actually? What did you have? You were acting so brave. What did you have? I said, that same dua that you taught us, that in these type of circumstances, in this dua, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'uzubika min shururihim. Recite this dua thrice in the morning, in the evening, at times of fear and difficulty, when danger and fear is looming over us at that time, recite this dua in abundance. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Allah Ta'ala, I assign you to these people. I am insufficient, I am incapable, but I assign you, Allah Ta'ala. Wa na'udhu bika min shururihim, and I ask refuge of their evil and their mischief. I was reciting this dua and I didn't feel any fear. The Shaykh was surprised. This person recited the dua with that level of yaqeen and he didn't experience any fear, going and coming, no fear at all. Taqi ibn Mukhallad is a great muhaddis of his zamana, and he says that one woman came complaining that my son has been taken as a prisoner. He's in chains, he's in bonds. Visibly, there is no ways of the child of mine being saved. He will be under bonds, I don't know for how long he'll be, but he can't escape the situation. So this Taqi ibn Mukhallad tells him that, you see, the hadith says, da'watul walid lil walad. The dua of the parent for the child is definitely answered. There is no veil in his acceptance. And the hadith also says, an zahri al-ghayb, when you ask dua in the absence of your brother, you make dua for your brother, but in his absence, then Allah Ta'ala appoints a malaika, a farishta, an angel, to say, walaka bimithl, what dua you are asking for your brother, may you enjoy the same. What you are making, what dua you are making for your brother, then may you enjoy the same. So you make this simple dua that all people that have been taken unjustly as prisoners, Allah Ta'ala free them. Remember, dua is a very powerful weapon. I don't say that we don't resort to other methods, etc. But dua is a very, very powerful weapon. We don't realize the power that is behind this dua, this weapon of dua. Anyway, the child is taken as a prisoner approximately 80 to 100 kilometers away. Within 5 or 6 hours, and the child comes back to the mother smiling, no problems. Whereas he was in bonds, in chains he was, and he's come back in such a short period of time. So the child explains that I was in bonds and I was doing some service. There was a guard, there was a police over us that was supervising us. And suddenly I see the chain that was on my foot, that chain broke. And the guard that was supervising us, he began to swear me, abusive, insulting, aggressive. He says, why did you break the chain? He says, you are front of me, you see that I ever interfered with the chain. It broke. They got another big, thick chain and they fastened me again. I'm carrying on with my duty within 2-3 seconds, and that chain also broke down. So the guard went up to his head and he says, this is the case. He says, you rather get him out. Looks like this is a magician. He's a jadugar. His jadu and his magic will affect all the other prisoners. Everybody will escape just now. So rather get him out of the system quickly. So they put me onto a fast horse and they got me out of the kingdom that I don't affect these people here. So the mother asked, around which time this happened? So he explained this time. So exactly at that time, the mother was making dua for the child. That mother was making dua for the child and the dua was answered. And immediately that dua, Allah reached the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the chain broke. So this is a very great strategy, a great plan, and a great weapon that we have, and that is dua. One friend of mine was in hospital, make dua for his recovery. So he had some cancer, whatever it was, and the tubes were all around his body. So around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, it was unbearable for him. So he says, I got no recourse. The only recourse, oh Allah Ta'ala, ya sanada malla sanadala. I have no support but you. In qata'a raja'u illa mink. I've got no way to turn but you, oh Allah Ta'ala. All my hopes have been dashed. I don't have any recourse. No place to cry. Allah Ta'ala, you, at least this one tube, get it out of my system. That very morning, the specialist came to visit him. So he sees him, he's quite fine. What is the need for this tube here in his mouth? Take it out. His mouth or his nostril, wherever it is. What is the need for that? Take that out. There's some other tubes in his body. Take that out. And by the end of the day, all the tubes are out of his body. Now what is this? This is dua. But make dua in that frame of mind that nobody can assist but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the only one. He will do it. He will make it happen. Although apparently it seems it's impossible, but Allah Ta'ala will bring about a way. Allah Pak will bring about a solution to it. So this is the first thing that we need to do, resort to dua. Ista'inu billah. The second thing that the Quran Sharif says, wasbiru, and be patient. In your approach, be patient. There's a lengthy hadith. I don't wish to relate the entire hadith to you. Aisha radiallahu anha was a little bit harsh towards a Jew. Rasulullah SAW cautioned her that, "Oh Aisha, you be humble in your approach, be respectful and dignified in your approach." She says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but don't you see what he's saying? He's using abusive words. And he's slandering you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So Rasulullah SAW explained to her, no matter what the dispute, whatever the circumstance be, but when politeness, respect, and a dignified approach, when it's removed from the equation, it will spoil things, it will sour things. You take out the dignified approach, you take out the words of respect, the words of goodness, you take it out from the equation, it will spoil things, it will sour things. But if there is a dispute, there is a quarrel, there is a problem, have a dignified approach, be respectful, be patient, you will find it will just better the circumstance, it will best better that situation. But have that type of respectful approach, no matter what it is, even though he may be your enemy, but you will give him a chance to think about it, that this man has got a respectful approach, a dignified approach, and I need to reply to that respect with respect. Otherwise he will feel embarrassed. Okay, this man is treating me with so much of respect, and I am treating him with this type of aggression, this type of vulgarity. Is this behooving of me? So this is the second thing, that we be patient. Wasbiru. Everything is definitely in the control of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing is beyond His control. This is where we miss the point. We feel this is beyond now, beyond control. No, there's nothing that is beyond control. Be patient. This is the second thing that we are required to do. Be patient, no matter how difficult it may be, but be patient in the usage of our tongues, in the usage of our bodies, in the using of our minds and intelligence. Be patient. We have a respectful approach, a dignified approach. Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. And the third part of this prescription that Musa alayhi salam is offering to his people, the Bani Israel, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Remember, the world belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Kal ka faqir, aaj ka badshah ho jata hai. Don't be seen. Yesterday he's beggar, today he becomes a king. Doesn't it happen? He's a prisoner yesterday, and today he becomes the king of the world. Doesn't it happen? So all this is within the control of Allah Ta'ala. يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He will grant it to whomsoever He pleases. We have that certainty that He will grant it. But how do we secure it? We've got a business, we've got a property, we have got whatever we have got, but how do we secure it? So the verse gives us the answer as well. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. What a beautiful verse. Just two words. In the two words, the whole story is given up. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And good results. Good results are for the righteous. You'll be righteous, you'll be true to Allah Ta'ala, you'll be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll find good results coming your side. When Nabi's people had complained about a drought, that we are in constraints and difficulties, the livestock is dying, people are starving, we are going through some hard times, make dua for the rains to come. So they went to perform Salatul Istisqa, prayer for rain, Salat for rain. And he received a revelation, a wahi from Allah Ta'ala, that you can cry and your tears can dry up in your sockets, but we're not going to provide the rain. So he asks the Nabi that, why isn't our du'as being answered? The Nabi asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why won't our du'as be answered? He says, well, amongst you there are people that backbite, carry tales. That carry tales and backbite, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ, slandering, backbiting, carrying tales. So when there's this type of people in your crowd, then how do you expect your du'as to be answered? So the Nabi makes an announcement in his people, that person that was backbiting or slandering or carrying tales, please, he must excuse ourselves, because he's withholding the rains. The whole country is in difficulty, in problems, because of these one, two people. Now who wants to be embarrassed? If he moves out, then he's embarrassed, obviously. People look up at him, oh, this was the person. So it's embarrassing. So Nabi says, well, nobody wants to own up. then one person should move away until we make dua. Then we'll know exactly, well, this was the person who was indulging in this, so the rains won't be held, won't be withheld on account of that person. So now, when he heard this announcement, he made the peace with Allah Ta'ala. He made tawbah, Allah Ta'ala, forgive me, I made this mistake. I've been backbiting, I've been indulging in carrying tales. Namam, namima. I've been carrying tales, causing problems amongst people. So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me, I'll never do this. And he resolved, and he made tawbah, and he cried. Now the Nabi makes dua, and the rains come down. So the Nabi asks Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, oh Allah, who is this chosen servant of yours whose tawbah has been answered? He's become your friend. On account of his tawbah, we have been blessed with rains. So look at the answer of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Just admire that answer of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that we didn't embarrass our servant when he was on the war path with us. Now that he's made the peace with us, are we going to embarrass him? We're not going to embarrass him. All of us like our izzat, don't we? We all cherish and we love our respect. The respect of our children, respect of our families, respect of our Muslim community, people in large, generally we love our respect. We hold firmly to it. So Allah Ta'ala says to this Nabi, that when he was in the war path with us, when he was transgressing, then we didn't embarrass him. Now that he's made the peace with us, are we going to embarrass him? No, we're not going to embarrass him. If I expose his name to you, then I'm embarrassing him. I'm not going to do this. So this is the third thing that is required. The mistakes that we have made, mainly the mistakes, apart from the business mistakes that we have, main mistakes that are committed nowadays, generally, by one and all, either it emanates start off from the eyes or from the tongue. Misuse of the tongue or misuse of the eyes. We make a firm resolve to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we'll restrain, we'll refrain, we'll protect ourselves, we'll guard ourselves against this guna.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.